Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Narrative, COVID narrative, SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes disease, is actually falling apart. And it's very interesting to watch this happen. And as an outgrowth from this, of course, we're seeing pushback, blowback from the people, especially and including in Canada. Now, it's all over the world, essentially. The United States is picking up the rear on this, but you see it happening in Canada. You see it happening in Austria and other locations, and even Australia. But Canada's leading the pack on this. And I really want to get a news update on this, and I want you to have a news update on this. So I'm bringing back Randy Taylor, Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com. Before I get to Randy, I just want to alert people to this weekend. We do have a Patreon meeting that's scheduled this weekend, this Sunday. Am I right, Eric the Tech? Or? Yes, we do. Okay. Had to verify that with the master of ceremonies over there, Eric the Tech. So, yeah, Patreon meeting this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Okay, Patreon meeting this Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. I do hope you're enjoying as well the exclusive content for those who offered or to who got that. I really appreciate the support. We're battling an effort to stay on the air. And I'm just going to tell you that flat out. We're battling to stay on the air as things are being removed from us piece by piece. I'm not going to go in any further than that. So with that, Randy Taylor, how are you today, sir?
Very good, sir. How are you? Happy Friday.
Yeah, Friday the 4th.
To my friends, to our listeners, Friday of another crazy week. Just a crazy week. And just the part that blows me away is that the Canadians got this started.
Well, you know, yeah, they did. I love it. God bless those people.
Never underestimate these guys.
No. It's all a boot of freedom. I'm kidding.
Yes. And when you start messing with that, people will step on out there. The people that you least expected will step up to the plate because you're talking about freedom. That is the most dearest thing that we have, is our freedoms. Our freedoms allow us everything else.
100%.
You start nipping away, you take one freedom, and you've affected the whole stack.
You know, this is like that movie, Falling Down, I think. When people have nothing left to lose, they begin to lose it. That's a saying, a friend, Gerald Celente, Trends Journal. If we can put the image up, to give people an idea of what's going on in Canada, the truckers rebelling against these unconstitutional and even up there mandates, the quashing the freedom mandates. You set a graphic, which I think really people need to understand. This is not just a one location, even two locations.
It's not isolated. Yes. I sent a graphic up with you, three major ones.
Yeah.
That's what's really gathering the attention right now, in size wise. There's a lot of other little things going on in Canada with truckers. There's convoys everywhere. There might be 10 trucks in the convoy. The ones that we've circled here, you're getting into thousands of trucks. Oh, absolutely amazing, the turnout. It's been back and forth. I can tell you this safely with the RCMP, which, let me give you a quick breakdown of how the policing works up here.
Please.
Okay. In say I'm familiar with Ontario because I've spent time up there. I have family there. So in Ontario, you've got your little cities, Toronto, stuff like that. A small city or a city may have a police department. It may not. Toronto has a police department. Then as far as the, and that's like any city police, basically in the United here in the U.S. town, the town cop. Then you have, and I'm going to try and do this and line it up with how it is in the U.S. here. Then you have OPP, Ontario Provincial Police, which technically are like a state police for the province of Ontario. They also would fill in as a county sheriff would. Okay, you know, and that's pretty much, it's that simple. Then when you get into federal level, we have the FBI, they have the RCMP. Okay, right. Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So in a nutshell, that's what's going on. Now, in say Ottawa, for instance, where there's protests going on, you do have Ottawa Police. It is the capital of Canada. They do have a police force. Incidentally, just so people know, within the last 24 hours, they brought in an additional 150 officers. That's a lot of cops. Okay?
For that area, so far, yeah.
Just for Ottawa, city of Ottawa, sir. And this is you know, in the lockdown area, you know, where the trucks are pretty well locked things down. That's a lot of police. But then there's also the word around the campfire is, and we've been seeing an interview or a statement, a public statement by a high ranking officer. And he was basically saying that the trucks have to go. They've been given a mandate and they're going to start. They've been issuing tickets now. Been the last couple of days, there hasn't been any kind of violent arrest. There hasn't been anything like that because the truckers aren't doing that. But what they are doing is every single traffic infraction that you could think of is being pulled out and slapped on the truckers. They're also threatening to start towing the vehicles. Problem that they have, they're going to have to bring in tow trucks and tow companies from outside of Ottawa, because the Ottawa tow company said absolutely no way are they going to tow truckers. They were flat out adamant about it. So that every time the RCMP comes up with an idea, or the Ottawa police, somebody shoots them down. This is only and I'll be honest with you, Doug, I think this is only going to get bigger. I don't see this breaking up and going home. They have, and you got to remember, most of the intel we're gathering is through people that we know that are in the area, okay, or directly involved with the convoys. And we're also, I have several people in different social media that are putting out extremely good feeds and are unaffected by the police. Okay. Now, the police are also talking about, they're doing investigations, of course, and they're going to, anybody that supports this can be prosecuted. Anyone that has sent money in, they're saying, can be prosecuted. It's the same old song and dance, okay? The citizenry came in and stepped on their toes, stepped on their little fingers. Now they're upset. They're getting their marching orders. This isn't from the mayor of Ottawa. This would be directly from Justin Trudeau, okay? And Justin Trudeau...
Now, where is he?
He's hiding. Now, we do have... We have a guy that we trust very much.
Yeah.
He says he has video, okay, of Justin Trudeau being out in BC, British Columbia, Vancouver.
I've seen that.
Yes, you did see it.
Yep.
There's no mistaking that that's not in Ontario. No, he bailed. He split. Okay. The other thing, the reason you know he split is, I told you about that CPAC channel you can tap into.
Yeah.
On CPAC, yesterday, he was not in Parliament. Prior to that, when Parliament first came back on Monday, he was there.
Okay.
Okay. Then he vanished. Okay. This is the COVID kid. This is the guy that has all his shots and his boosters and everything, and still comes down with COVID-19. Which I think is fantastic. Not that the man's sick, but that we just have one more example and illustration that this COVID entire thing is crap. Okay. I think you're much better off getting it. You know what I've learned in life in 60 years? When it's your time, it's your time.
Right.
Be it COVID, be it 9mm, be it a car wreck. You don't know. Okay. And if you've caught COVID and you've walked away from it, guess what? You have a resistance to it.
21 months of the latest study, at least.
Yes. And that's what we have to have. We cannot go through our lives. And realistically, people, stop and think about this. You can't go through your lives relying on a shot. Now, I could see you're diabetic or something, fine. But we're talking about general population, a shot that's supposed to keep us alive.
Right.
And it hasn't even been proven that it can keep us alive, because we have, the hospitals are full of people that can point to their injection sites and tell you that they have COVID and they're very, 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 very sick. So I think it's wonderful that our little butt boy, Justin Trudeau, has contracted this. I think it's sad that his children have, and I do feel for the children. Sympathy for Justin Trudeau. Wow, let me look at that. I took a vote. There it is. Nothing. That was an easy one too. The other thing, folks, remember, this isn't just about Coots Crossing.
For the American audience, for international audience, where is that? That's in Alberta.
Okay, Alberta. It's down at the bottom of Alberta where it goes into Montana. Okay. It's a very small crossing. Remember, we were laughing the other day about the typical almost gravel road crossing.
Oh yeah.
This is pretty much that. Okay, but a lot of trucks use it.
I understand.
Yeah, from a mileage standpoint and all. And I have a brother-in-law up in Canada that's in the trucking industry. And so some information flows. Coots Crossing. Then we're seeing also, and there has been no media really on this, Winnipeg, Manitoba. That convoy's been in there for days. You have not seen it on any of it. And I told you the apps to get. Yep. You know, they're not showing it. It's like it doesn't exist. They don't want to give any additional fire, additional fuel to this patriotic fire that's burning. Okay. This is a big, big, big fire that's just growing and growing and growing and growing. And quite frankly, people, I'm thrilled. I couldn't be happier. I mean, it just cracks me up that it's the Canadians. I don't care.
Well, you know.
You know what? Do it.
Do it. That's right.
You got it.
So, for example, what you mentioned, because this is something that I've been getting some inquiries about, and I'll ask you. So if there's a GoFundMe for the truckers. Now, apparently.
Which has a.
Go ahead. You
know, I think it's cracked 10 million.
I thought they stopped it at 8, but I've heard a couple of different numbers, and I could not get a hold of the woman up there who who's taking care of this. But have they confiscated, has GoFundMe confiscated that money?
No, actually, the money's still sitting there. GoFundMe apparently has to go and appear before Parliament. Someone from whoever's in charge there has to go What we're afraid of, because they're slowly making these protests a criminal act, what we're afraid of as patriots is that they're going to call this proceeds a crime.
Right.
Which is actually an official term up in Canada, which allows for seizure.
Okay.
If they do that, I guarantee the lid's going to come off this thing. There's a very fragile truce right now between the police and the protesters, and it's fragile. I'll tell you why it's fragile. Nothing to do with the police. Okay?
No.
You'll see, if you watch the films and all, you'll see the police talking with these people, you know, giving them directions, patting them on the shoulder, sending them on their way, doing this, doing that. they're just following orders. And the orders, what was said today, and I couldn't capture it. I tried to capture it. I couldn't. Okay. I couldn't get it out of the app. I didn't know how to rip it out of the app. The guy that was talking, which my understanding was, he was Ottawa police. He said, he alluded to the fact they may bring in the military in his statement that I watched. I don't care. I can't mince his words or say his words. All I'm going to say is there was a high ranking police official.
I saw that. I saw that on Twitter. Actually, it appeared on the, it was,
so somebody did rip the video.
Yeah. Yeah. It was either on Gab or it was on one of the social media sites.
And he didn't come flat out and say it.
Right.
But Doug, you've interviewed enough people in your life, and I can see the handwriting on the wall. I know what the man said. And he was alluding to military.
So which, in Canada, would that be like the United States? Because you know,
no, okay. That's all federal troops. We don't have up in Canada. We don't have, and I say we because I have family up there. I have two homes. I have the United States and Canada. They don't have National Guard. They don't have. The setup like in the States, like there's no Ontario National Guard. It's all federal troops. It would be all federal troops. And a large majority of those troops probably are stationed right just outside of Toronto because you got your big Air Force bases and all out here.
So would that be allowed pursuant to Canadian law or they could turn their military on Canadian citizens?
No, they'd have to declare martial law. Doug, they're breaking all the rules up there right now.
All right.
We're seeing things. There's a thing we have a constitution in the United States.
Yep.
What the Canadians have is what's called a Charter of Rights. Okay. And here's the amusing thing. Trudeau's father is pretty much the one that busted those out on the people.
Right.
And now it's his son that's violating them. The Charter of Rights is very specific. The Charter of Rights applies as soon as your feet hit Canadian soil. You could be coming in as a refugee. You could have stepped off a flight and getting on a connecting flight while your feet are on Canadian soil. That Charter of Rights applies to you.
Okay.
And it's very specific. And it is being chewed up and spit out by Justin Trudeau and by the Liberals. I trust you saw that Erin O'Toole, the leader of the Conservative Party, got voted out yesterday.
Yeah. What are the implications there, if you don't mind?
Well, what's going to be interesting? Well, first of all, the interim leader they brought in, Candace Bergen, she's a tiger. She is ruthless. She's a killer. I like her because the Liberals like to get you into those little verbal debates that head nowhere. She will chew them up in Parliament. I'm looking forward to it. In fact, I'm going to see if I can tape in any way, tape the CPAC shows, or if not, I'm going to have somebody up there tape them for me.
So wait a second. Was she the Aaron or the one that was? Voted out. Was she like a Liz Cheney would be, or
more powerful than that?
Okay.
Yeah, you've got a few females up there that are just you just don't want to tangle with. Candace Bergen being one of them. There's another one, Michelle Rempel. She married an American soldier, actually, and these are women that. Have no problem looking Justin Trudeau right in the eye and calling him out. And that's what I like about him. Interesting little tidbit. Apparently, whoever's the interim leader, when they go to decide to vote for the new leader within the Conservative Party, apparently that position can't be carried over. So she's just interim leader. We're actually looking, I think we're looking at a gentleman named Pierre. I have a hard time saying his last name, Polyev. And I've seen the guy. I've met the guy. Actually, I emailed back and forth with him a couple of times. I've been up in Ottawa and I've met him. Just really solid guy. Really, really, really solid. And just the type that the conservatives up there need to beat Trudeau into submission. Seriously. This guy is, he knows all the angles. He's well-spoken. He's very highly respected. And as soon as you hear him start talking, just the way he presents himself, you know Trudeau's in trouble.
Okay, so the conservative that was removed or quit or kicked out, it was not conservative enough in terms of U.S. standards or U.S. conservative standards, in other words.
Even Canadian conservative standards. Okay. What happened was he talked a good show coming in, and then he slowly started relinquishing on things, on mandates, on this, won't go out and, talk to the truckers. Now, this lady that they put in there, she is for the truckers.
Okay.
Okay, so your head of the conservatives, okay, which is what would you call it? They're a huge party, okay? They're a force to be reckoned with. The head of the conservatives is the one that's leading them right now is absolutely in tune with the truckers. Okay. You know what she asked for? She just said, all she said was, can we just at least listen to them? No, we won't. We're not going to have terrorists and people that hung a flag on the Terry Fox statue. I mean, come on, people, really? Really? They keep using words like desecration. Nobody desecrated anything. And the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, listen, there's nobody in the world respects Tomb of the Unknown Soldier more than I do, but it was some teenage kid got up there and was dancing around. I don't even think she knew what she was doing.
Probably not.
To be honest with you. She certainly wasn't a spokesman for the group.
No, no. And I saw that little jig that she did up there and there's nothing.
Yeah. And would you call that desecration? I call it like looking silly.
Yeah. I mean, at worst, it was a TikTok moment, I suppose. Let me ask you. Okay, so
yes,
so Ottawa police now. Okay, this I'm getting this, and I don't know if you're getting this as well. This just came in. This just came in about 2.5-3 hours ago. Ottawa police have instructed hotels throughout the city not to rent out any empty rooms. The government has purchased or bought up all of the empty rooms. They've leased them out to stop anyone from coming to the Capitol. Have you heard that?
Yes. Yes.
What? Where are they getting the money? Is that out of their pocket or is that Canadian taxpayer money?
It's Canadian taxpayer money, and I think they're hoping that GoFundMe page will end up in their hands. Seriously? If GoFundMe surrenders that money to the government, I would never do anything on GoFundMe again. That's huge because there's a certain trust factor when you set up a donations page.
Well, it's just that
but there's that unwritten.
Yeah,
the key is this has all been peaceful. Trust me, there's been no violence, none, zero. Okay, my people would know if there was violence. And if there was violence, even that didn't make it to a TV station, I would know about it. Okay, it ain't happening. And so far, everything that the left's putting out is lies. These guys did not go and steal food from a soup kitchen in Ottawa.
They constructed one, actually.
Oh, yeah. Did you see? Now, that's another thing. These truckers aren't planning on going anywhere. Eric, I think you have a picture there to show us. And this was a big indication. This is one of those pictures where no words even need to be said. And you can tell. We'll let Eric look for that one. But you can tell these guys really aren't planning on going anywhere. They're in it for the long haul. The support from the Canadian people is a whole lot more than what Trudeau's calling a fringe element. Let me tell you, this is huge. You've even got liberals that are siding with the truckers because it's about food getting to the shelves and making a living. And my understanding up there is in some municipalities, and this is just what I'm being told, and pictures I've seen are sent up by family and all, sent down by family. We're right back to like it was before when they first were doing the COVID lockdowns with the empty shelves. We got a lot of empty shelves. Those truckers that are coming up from the States and all, you understand what the beef is at the border, they want to stick them in seclusion, quarantine for 2 weeks as soon as they hit the border. How is a guy supposed to make a living doing this? And you got to understand with truckers, yeah, you've got Canadian truckers. Yeah, you have U.S. truckers. But you've got a whole bunch of truckers that are U.S. and Canadian truckers. Folks, the only thing that Canada really has up there, they make wine and they have great lumber. You can't eat lumber, okay? And wine should always have some fine food to go with it. Well, how do you think the food gets up there? By the truckers.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, Canada lives on the trucking industry, on goods coming from the United States. I am not joking. And I'm not talking about dairy farmers at the borders. I'm talking about if you want to go down and buy a decent hammer at the hardware store, it came from the States. Okay. The only thing really good up here that I've ever seen north of here that was manufactured in Canada, I was always impressed with the fact that they made good windows. So I'm being serious. They make a good window. And because it stands up to the temperatures and all, and the frigid cold that Canada has to deal with. Right. That's the other thing, folks. Remember, these guys are out here freezing their butts off. It's minus probably on every one of those three fronts, Ottawa, Coots Crossing, and Winnipeg. If I say it's minus 18 to minus 20 Fahrenheit, I'm pretty accurate. It's cold. Yeah, it's cold up there.
I've actually heard from someone up there that it got below 20 below just north of Montana.
Doug, could you imagine the wind out there at Coots Crossing?
No. I mean, yeah, I can, but no, I don't want to.
Yeah, but there's nothing out there to stop it, baby, except you.
Oh, man.
Man, you would be. I mean, the cities are one thing. Those guys out there at Coots. And here's what's funny with Coots. When the cops come in and tell a truck to move, you know what he does? He goes about a kilometer down the road and parks his truck again.
So, well, yeah,
this is going to come. There's going to be, folks, I'm going to say this. I would watch YouTube this weekend and different social medias, Rumble, watch it. I think there's going to be trouble this weekend.
And that's what was my next question. What do you think is going to happen next? Two questions here before you get a bounce. Number one, what do you think is going to happen, especially this weekend? Number two, what's the future of Trudeau based on all of this? Because I don't think he's going to go quietly, him being Fidel's bastard son, excuse me, according to Anne Barnhart, which I think that it was an article that we both I think you might have
said that. Yeah,
I saw that. Yeah. So, I mean, folks, there it is. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, from a racial, from a facial perspective, man, you know, genetically speaking,
it's enough if a wanted poster was put out, he'd get picked up.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So
it's that close. Especially look at the eyebrows.
Yep.
Especially in that top photo, look at the eyebrows. Look at the nose. The nose is perfect.
Yep.
Matt, this is, I have never believed that he wasn't Castro's son.
And that explains a lot. You folks, please don't go to Wikipedia, for example, and try to think you're going to get it's not correct. It's not. And Barnhart does a great job. Go ahead.
And I think what this indicates, folks, the demise of the United States and the demise of Canada were planned.
Yeah.
Probably 60 years ago.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
Yeah.
They're just fulfilling their own prophecy. But this is what they planned. This is what they wanted. And if you told me that he's Trudeau, that Trudeau is Castro's son, I believe you, because he's doing exactly what Castro would be doing right now in a stealth communism takeover.
Okay, I'm familiar, and most of the audience is familiar with the United States. But so how could this work out in Canada where, I don't want to say Trudeau can save face, but what's the best case scenario in Canada? How do they remove Trudeau? Is it through just simply because there's a no confidence vote, I thought? But
that would be the only way, really.
And then what?
Or arrest him.
And then new elections or what?
If you have a no confidence vote, yeah, there would be an election. That's what he just did. He called an election, if you recall, just several months back.
Okay, right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's almost like a joke, because you also have to remember they have voting problems up here like we do in the United States. They just don't talk about them.
Right.
But those Dominion machines, they're still used to tally hand counted votes. Don't think that these machines are out.
And you know, that brings me to another thing too, that Nashville explosion downtown. Okay.
Sing it to me, baby.
I'm not singing. We have to talk about that, because there's something very wrong about that. Remember, it happened on December 25th of last year, of 2021. No, wait a minute, right. 2020. Wait, what is this year? A year ago last Christmas, it happened.
Right, 2020.
Okay. Right. So, and that's where the machines were being held ostensibly.
Yes.
Yeah.
We said this on the show the other day. The voting is not, the election's not solved. It is not over. The election's not complete. The process is not correct. Our rights are not being recognized, admonished, or anything. Yeah. We're fixing to walk right into another. And here's the thing. How are you going to convince a lot of people to vote? There's a lot of people out there that after that fiasco of 2000, or not 2000, 2020, after that fiasco, why would you even waste your time standing in line when you really got to see that your vote didn't count?
It's a good point.
I don't understand why Trump isn't still screaming about it. I mean, the whole system needs to be reworked. And if you can ask for ID for a shot, you can ask for ID for a vote. And if you've noticed, what they did is they chose the black people to pin this on. The Democrats did.
Good point. And folks,
they are the ones that said, oh, do you think blacks are too? We never said anything. We just said everybody needs ID.
Right.
And right away, they pulled up that black card. Oh, you're being racist.
You can't make this up. Okay, no. So I got to cut you loose. But here's the thing we need to do, folks. Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com. Make sure you send him a message. Hagman,
I've been getting great emails.
Have you been getting my threats?
I've never met before. Fantastic. We have some really, really intelligent listeners.
We do.
And I worldwide. Thank God for them.
Worldwide, and I got to give worldwide. My props to Karen in Rome. God bless you. I love you, little sis. Deb up in Toronto or up in Ontario, and others. Thank you. And Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com. Make sure you drop him a line. Randy Taylor, you're safe in your travels. I know that you're traveling around. Just be safe.
I'm just staying under the radar, sir.
All right, and so we're going to be hitting it hard next week and talking about different aspects. Cool. And just so people know, the surgery I had planned for next week is rescheduled because of, apparently there's two surgeons going to be doing this thing, and they can't get their schedules together. So I'll let you
and
guys
folks,
know.
Pray for Doug. He's in pain as he's sitting here talking to you. I want you to know that.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's in pain, right? He's in pain.
Yeah.
So please keep them in your prayers.
They give me Pez candy for that. But anyway,
That's the going prescription in the U.S. right now.
Hey, here, take a Tylenol and be happy you got it.
Pretend.
All right.
Folks, we love you. And please pray for their truckers and their families. They're doing this for us. Even in the U.S., they're doing it for us. Freedom, that shot heard around the world, you've heard it.
Yeah.
Let's not waste it. Please don't waste it. Don't wait till March to drive on Washington. Please.
Let's do it now. We'll do it live. All right, brother.
Do it to it, baby.
Talk to you soon. All right.
Right on.
Folks, Randy Taylor, Randy at HagmanReportLive.com. Make sure you drop him a line. All right. Hey, you know what? Speaking of cold and stuff, okay, it's colder than heck up here. I sent Austin Brower a photograph. I took out my back door. I think it was maybe it was this week. I don't know. It doesn't matter. One week runs into the next, and you look out the door, and all you see is white, okay, and ice, and you know, polar bears. Eric the Tuck actually shoveled my house. The front of my house, which I was grateful for. But one place that doesn't have it is Florida, where Austin Brower is from, healthmasters.com. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm cutting into Austin's time, but I want to tell you something, all right? I've been hearing from more and more people, and I mean this, more and more people who are taking Health Masters. And you know what the weird thing is? Everyone says, please don't use my name or please don't read this on the air, thinking that, and perhaps rightfully so, that they don't want to lose this connection, the Health Masters connection. And I'm thinking, well, I'm, you know, reading about health or talking about Health Masters on the air. But what they're saying is, look, I've my COVID symptoms, you know, gone in a couple of days. But they've been taking the protocol, the immune suppressant protocol. So, it's all about nutrition, or a big part of it is about nutrition. And if you want nutrition, Health Masters is the best on the planet, in my view, and in many others' view. And in fact, if you send another email about Health Masters' efficacy of their supplements, do me a favor. Let me read it on the air. You can take your name out or something, or say, don't use my name, but let me read it on the air, because I've got some amazing testimonies from people. Healthmasters.com, from fixing things like, leg cramps to inflammation from arthritis to actually COVID symptoms. So healthmasters.com, that's healthmasters.com. And while you're there, make sure you tune into the Ted and Austin Brower Show. It's on the right-hand side, top right. And they have an hour informational download one day a week. That's Monday, or one day a week. Every weekday. I'll get it right. Yeah, it's only Tylenol. It's NyQuil and DayQuil mixed together along with a little bit of vodka. I'm kidding, of course, but there it is right there on the upper right. If you can't read it, well, hey, sorry about that. Or if you can't find it, sorry about that. You see where it's at. Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. The words keep falling out of my mouth. I can't stop them. Make them stop, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing blessed, my friend. Great to be on the show, as always. We're getting a lot of stuff rolling in today. I actually just had a truck deliver some more purple sticks. Again, I've been trying to stay absolutely stockpiled up on these for all of our listeners so we don't run out again, which has happened numerous times. And I hate it because everybody calls me and asks me for months why we can't get them. I'm going to try to prevent that from ever happening again. Even if I have to have a whole warehouse full of purple sticks, I'm going to make sure that happened.
You know, and you mentioned this last time, and I have to say this. After you mentioned about the different taste, I did get somebody who sent me an email. And again, I read all my emails. I just don't read them on the air, or don't respond to a lot of them. Somebody sent me an email saying about how different that tastes from another competitor. I won't mention the name, and how much better that they felt for a longer period of time using purple sticks in terms of the afternoon pick-me-up in that case, in the context of that email. So good stuff. That's good stuff there. And my palate still hasn't arrived. I think it's probably stuck in a snowstorm somewhere.
Apparently Texas is getting a little bit of snow from what I've been seeing. They're having a bit of a problem down there with that snow again. I remember when this happened, a similar time last year, and basically the whole power grid had a big meltdown. They had all the problems with it. And, you know, that's why I've constantly been so diametrically opposed to all electric vehicle systems, the EV vehicles. And as you see now in this infrastructure bill, we've talked about it, you know, where they want to go in and basically be able to monitor everything you do inside your car with cameras so they can prevent you from driving drunk, which is almost laughable. That's what they actually say they're going to use it for. And yeah, it just goes to show you how going to a full EV vehicle platform all across the country is probably one of the stupidest, most reckless, idiotic things we could possibly do from an infrastructure vehicle traveling standpoint. But again, as we know, it's a lot more than them just wanting to reduce greenhouse effects, reduce emissions. It's all about having vehicles that nobody has the ability to drive without permission. If we've seen anything over the last couple of years, it's very, very evident that once individuals in power grasp more power, they never let go of it again. I saw an article earlier now, and apparently the Virginia Attorney General now is having to get involved with the Loudoun County mask fight with the school system. The school board in Loudoun County, I talked about it last week. I think I brought it up on your show, where essentially they were saying that even though the governor revoked any type of mandates or requirements or allowing schools to mandate masks, the Loudoun County School Board doubled down and said that they were not going to allow anybody to be in school and they would suspend any child that refused to wear a mask. Well, now the new lady that's basically in charge of the Loudoun County Public School Board, Chrissy Clark, she went on there to go on to say that if anybody shows up to school, that they will be arrested for trespassing if they're not wearing a mask. She went on to say there, quote, she's the assistant principal of the Loudoun County Crichton Corner Elementary School. That's what's crazy about this. Janet Davidson is what her name is. She said, it's important to point out that I've stated in the letter clearly that you've received. It is important that I point out that you are not allowed on campus or on any Loudoun County public school property tomorrow. It'll be considered trespassing if you refuse to wear a mask, which I don't even know how far-fetched this is getting. Quite frankly, that's blatant abuse of power. I mean, that's obviously you can see that. And it's abusive process. I mean, going in and saying that you're going to now try to use criminal laws and cite people for trespassing because they don't want to wear a mask on campus. So I don't even think that's enforceable. I don't know if she's going to try to do it, but apparently that is why the attorney general is getting involved now. Because the governor signed that they couldn't do this, what's your take on this, Doug, from a legal standpoint to parents? Is your, as far as just your opinion on trying to cite somebody for trespassing with law enforcement if they refuse to wear a mask on public school property that is paid for by the tax dollars and is required for children to be in school at some point for legally, kids have to go to school. How do you require kids to go to school legally that pay for it with your tax dollars and then say if you don't wear a muzzle on your face, you're going to be charged with trespassing? Is that not abuse of power?
You know, you asked me from my perspective and my experience, I got to throw my experience out the window because the rules, there are no rules anymore, but you know, it's interesting because, okay, so just to be clear, folks, what's happening in Loudoun County, and this is kind of a bellwether of certain, I would say liberal areas across the United States. So let me get this straight. Virginia's Loudoun County, is going to cite maskless students for trespassing. Now, trespassing in the county, I do know this, it is a class one felony that holds a 12-month jail sentence or a $2,500 fine. Okay, so, but this is being enforced at the school district level, and I'm a little bit unclear whether the county is backing this, okay? Because you mentioned the attorney general, but not the district attorney or the equivalent thereof. In the Commonwealth of Virginia would be the DA. But so this Janet Davidson, she and her school board or school ignored a rape, of course, that we knew about, and are citing children for trespassing. Help me out here. I don't know. I don't even know what to, except Looney Tunes. And my question to you, because I see some cracks in the foundation with the CDC about, well, you know, maybe we should relax the masking standards now. What happens when the CDC says, okay, we don't have to do this anymore? Are they going to just autonomously going to enforce this? My question to you, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of the million-dollar question is how far a level of tyranny and violation of rights do we allow this to go? The CDC is not an enforcement agency. What they recommend for masks has nothing to do with what people have to do. You don't have to listen to the CDC. They are not an enforcement branch. And the thing about this is it's been very clear. Even the CDC said the cloth masks are useless, the same thing you and I said 2 years ago. And the fact that there's no viral prevention, if you're unbelievably sick and you're coughing and hacking and spewing up phlegm out of your mouth and you put like an N95 on, absolutely. Is it going to prevent you from, you know, basically projectiling saliva and, you know, mucus everywhere? Absolutely. But if you're that sick, you don't need to be out in public anyways. But taking a person that is completely healthy, that's not sick of anything, and telling them they have to wear a mask covering all day has no scientific backing whatsoever. So to see them go this hard nose on it, and like you said, now the site for trespassing, so is the sheriff's department going to respond to every school and start arresting 8, 9, 10-year-old children and putting them in handcuffs and citing them for trespassing because they're going to school, which they're required to do at that age, and going to a publicly funded by taxpayer dollar school system and then being told that if they don't wear a mask, they're being arrested? I've never seen a precedent with this because, quite frankly, I've never seen somebody that is this asinine and out of control and drunk with power like this lady is. This is clearly an example of what happens of when unchecked power gets completely and totally out of control. And as we have seen now over the last 2 years, these individuals that are so obsessed with domination and control of other people, they are not going to give up this newfound basically power grab that they have had. They're not going to give it up. I mean, we saw the mayor of LA, you know, taking a photo with Magic Johnson the other day and Governor Newsom. And, you know, the mayor of LA, basically nobody's wearing masks at the game. Nobody around them's wearing masks. The whole time they're walking around, they're getting photos. Nobody's wearing masks. Basically the football game that was out there. And then the mayor gets on TV and goes, yeah, I wasn't wearing a mask because I took it off very quickly and I held it right here. And I held my breath the whole time for the photo.
I saw
it. And
that.
Then I quickly put the mask back on after I held my breath. There's a 0% chance I could have infected anybody. And I'm like, and I mean, there's memes all over online. Everybody's making fun of him, showing photos of him completely blue in the face. Mr. Hold My Breath the Whole Time Mayor. And he's the same mayor that's literally ruining LA right now with refusing to do anything about the lawlessness with the drug addiction and the homelessness and the vagrancies and the violence and the thefts. There's videos now popped up from California. It's how bad it is of children walking home from school, getting stopped and mugged for their phones on the way home from school now in LA. That's how bad it's gotten now, where gangs are walking around mugging children on their way back after they get off the school bus and on their way back from school. This was on the news over there. And this is the level. I mean, LA is turning literally into a third world hellhole. If it continues at the pace that it's at, you're going to see a complete and total exodus of anybody that even has remotely a couple dollars in their pocket, because they're going to be like, dude, this is beyond the Wild West now. We can't live out here anymore. It's uninhabitable. When you start dealing with people that there are no morals, there are no ethics, there is no rule following, there are no laws being enforced, and it's literally just a free-for-all, when people walk into any store they want with a shopping cart, loaded up with liquor, food, toys, cash, or not cash, basically items from the store, whatever they want, take whatever they want, and just walk out the door that nobody does anything. I mean, the one video came out the other day of some deranged black woman with a grocery cart, and she's in a store stealing all kinds of stuff, and she's got a pickaxe. Talking about the pickaxe, like she's a prospector in the Western time. What were a pickaxe?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, dude, what do we do? She's got a pickaxe. I'm like, I don't know. Shoot her. That's a deadly weapon. I mean, you can't be running around threatening people with a pickaxe. But again, that's what's in LA, because they're now saying that if you do anything at all, you basically are charged. I talked to a guy in California that lives out there online, and he said they were at a restaurant. The rare times they go out much anymore because they're getting ready to move. They were at a restaurant. And this homeless guy walks in to the restaurant walks up to a table of like four people that are eating food, takes their plates off the table, and basically has like a big giant like freezer Ziploc bag and starts pouring their food into the bags. And they're like, dude, what the heck are you doing? He's like, blah, 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 and starts rambling on and like bows all up on them. And so they kind of back up and stand up, steals all the food off the table, throws it in his backpack, and walks out the door and leaves. I mean, just total lawlessness. They call the cops, and the cops said, and they asked him, he said, what would have happened, you know, if I basically would have sucker punched this guy or basically like jumped on him? They said, well, we'd have had to charge you with battery because, you know, technically he's not really breaking any laws because he's just taking food and it's under, you know, $1,000 worth of food, obviously. So it's really just like a petty incident, and he didn't threaten your life and he didn't pull a gun on you and stick it in your face. So you really can't do anything except sit there and let him steal, you know, your $50, $60 plate dinner for the night. And the guy I was talking to said, I've had enough. We're done. He said, I don't even care how much money it costs. I'm moving out of the state. It's a complete and total failure. And that is exactly what we're starting to see. Those same individuals that run those cities are starting to show their ugly heads in other places of the country, like we're seeing now in this Loudoun County school district, where they literally think they're little gods on earth and they can make anybody do what they want them to do because, well, of course, it's science and you have to listen to science no matter how stupid it is or how asinine it is or how wrong it is or how much of a lie it is. If they say it's science, then you have to bow down and worship whatever they say. Same thing we've seen with Fauci. That's why DeSantis now is basically telling Fauci he can go kick sand. They've got apparel out now making fun of Fauci down here in Florida. Flip-flops, t-shirts, hats, and koozies. So we've had enough. We're done with it. No, nobody is going to listen to this clown anymore. The fact that he is the highest paid federal employee in the entire country, and that for some odd reason he can't be reprimanded, he can't be suspended, he can't be fired. He's literally been locked in this position now for like, what, 40 years? He's been in this position role, 35, 40 years, shows you exactly who is running the country. And it ain't bumbling buffoon Biden at all, who can't even figure out what his pudding and his ice cream supposed to be in front of his teleprompter. This is what's going on, and this is why I've encouraged so many parents. You have to get directly involved with these school boards right now. And quite frankly, in this situation, I would just pull my kids out and start homeschooling them and go to a homeschool co-op and start working with parents. I wouldn't even trust my children to be in that county school system anymore if people like her are actually running it, because clearly she's showing everybody what her true intentions are and how drunk and sadistic of power she is. And I would not want anybody like that over my children as far as an authority figure in the school system. That's just my opinion, Doug, even if they get this mass thing handled.
You know, you get the, in my view, government, and that includes the school district as well, that you vote for and deserve. And you know, it's a shame in Loudoun County, one of the most affluent places in Virginia, that you're seeing this take place. And I've noticed elsewhere and in Loudoun County, they're segregating children based on mask wearing status. If you don't wear a mask, they're going to put you in a cold gymnasium kind of thing and make you sit there. And I mean, all of this is just beyond the pale. And so this is, at this point, I'm telling you right now, maybe God made me, had me born in a certain age. Because if I had kids in the school district, or if I had children in the, children more accurately, in the grandchildren in the school district, they'd be getting a visit from me. And it would not be pleasant, all right? One of us would be a hurting pup. And yeah, maybe it would be me, all right? But I'd make my point. I'm not going to expose my children or grandchildren to any of this crap. They're not going to be wearing masks. They're not going to be segregated. They're not going to be... But you know what? Why are parents... why don't you pull your kids out? And if you can't, then make a stand. The Loudoun County incident, I just happened to see this, and Twitter is a piece of garbage, a sewage site, but I do monitor the responses. Some of the responses about this assistant principal of Loudoun County, just some of them. Let's see here. Well, the new virus spread was 62% higher in school districts without mask rules. This according to ABC12.com. Well, okay. Yeah, I trust that. And then another one. Since when do communist assistant principals create a new law overriding or create law overriding a governor's executive order? Okay, I don't know. And then one, this is my personal favorite. Why do all these, never mind, I was going to say, why do all these female principals look the same with the eyes? I get that. But this one here. Hey, if you don't follow school rules, you get sent home. It's not that hard, people. Really? That's okay. So there's a lot of mental illness out here, I believe, in the Twitterverse, in the metaverse, in the stupidverse. Okay, so I don't know.
Last time I checked, Doug, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all that—they're not real places. They're not tangible facilities. They're not assets. They're just digital platforms. And it's funny to me how serious some people get with a lot of stuff. That's why everybody's starting to go to this metaverse. Oh, we've got to do NFTs, these non-fungible tokens, so I can build a casino in my metaverse and all this stuff. And everybody's pumping this money into it. And I'm like, what happens when your hurricane hits and you don't have power because you didn't buy a generator because you spent all your money on NFTs and now you can't even turn on your vision goggles and your, you know, Neuralink in your brain? You can't get into your metaverse to go play whatever fantasy land world you want to live in as a grown adult. I don't know.
Is that really a thing?
What, the metaverse?
NFTs.
Oh yeah. Non-fungible tokens. Yeah. There's some stupid stuff, man. They're digital items for your metaverse. There's a painting the other day. It wasn't a real painting. It was a digital painting. It was like a JPEG of a monkey. It sold for $75,000 so somebody could hang it in their metaverse house. I'm not joking.
You mean in real currency or?
Oh yeah. Well, most of the time what they're using now is most people are paying with Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Oh my god.
They're paying with crypto, buy a lot of stuff. Which it took real currency to get, you know, Bitcoin. Somebody put money in it somewhere. Now we've gone so far loony land in the digital age now, as far as what's reality and what's real. And some people simply are still having this hard concept understanding that they really are thinking this digital world is like their new home and they can live there. I get it. If your life sucks so bad and you were such a pathetic waste of a human, you had no goals, no dreams, no ambition, you didn't have Christ in your life, and you literally were just a meaningless wandering generality, and you could be somebody in the metaverse and go, like, I don't know, buy a fancy car and have a fancy house and go do stuff. I mean, I guess I could see why somebody would be into it. But the problem is you can't be anybody in the metaverse unless you have money to go buy NFTs and dump into it with Bitcoin. So even if you're, you know, pathetic here, you're going to be pathetic in the metaverse. You're just going to be like a homeless bum in the metaverse. What do you do? Play Grand Theft Auto? Go steal everybody's stuff? I don't know. I'm young. I'm only 33. I'm about to be 34. And this is beyond my pay grade with what these guys are doing with this whole concept. And some people are actually taking this really, really seriously. I get it. If you want to play a video game, go play a video game. But don't tell me you're in a real world with your NFTs and your monkey pictures and your fake house and the digital platform in the metaverse and expect me not to laugh at you. I mean, let's just be real on that.
I'm getting too old for this crap. I really am.
Yeah, I know. I'm not even old. I'm already starting to say that. I'm like, this is beyond me, man. I mean, remember, I'm still in the age that didn't even really have internet or computers or video games or any of that. I mean, I still remember the early 90s. You know, when, you know, everybody had Blockbuster, we had to go to the store and get excited about a new movie getting released. And then you got there and they were all sold out of VHS tapes and you had to come back the next day or call them and see if they had gotten one back in on return or ask them to check the return box. And, you know, I mean, that's the basic stuff I had. I mean, I remember when, you know, Nintendo 64 first came out. That was like revolutionary video gaming for the entire world when that came out. Now you look at it, looks like you're watching a potato picture. It's like 5 pixels. And it's funny to me. But, you know, one thing that I saw earlier too, you know, as we're starting to see a lot of this stuff continue to go on and on and on, I brought it up on the show earlier, and I'm sure you saw it, was the new John Hopkins study about how lockdowns did not slow down mortality or prevent COVID deaths whatsoever after 2 years of research. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah. And talk about it, because You know, this is from Johns Hopkins. This is a study that people should be paying attention to. But well, it doesn't fit the narrative. So, go ahead.
It's crazy because I've brought this up and I've emailed this and texted this article to a ton of people because it's so big. I mean, Johns Hopkins University is huge and they do a lot of left-leaning stuff kind of sometimes, you know, they were the ones that were running the counters for all the COVID stuff. And so, I mean, they came out and it showed, the author wrote, while the meta-analysis concludes that lockdowns had little to no public benefit whatsoever, they did, however, impose enormous economic social cost when they were adopted. The focus of the study, according to the author, was to determine whether there is an empirical evidence to support the belief that lockdowns reduce COVID-19 mortality. The researchers defined lockdowns as any government mandate that directly restricted people's possibilities, such as policies that limit internal movement, closing schools, businesses, or travel. In other words, did lockdowns reduce COVID deaths? The conclusion, absolutely not. The actual evidence showed lockdowns had little to no effect on COVID-19 mortality. More specifically, stringency index analysis study found that lockdowns in Europe and the United States only reduced COVID-19 mortality by 0.2% on average across the board, which was statistically irrelevant, meaning it didn't do crap. It didn't do anything at all. One thing they said it did do is it caused enormous amount of social problems, horrific financial issues, and many problems with people actually being able to run their own companies and causing bankruptcy at an all-time high. They said in further analysis of lockdown versus no lockdown, face mask, closing non-essential businesses, border closure, school closure, so forth, the study also found no broad-based evidence of noticeable effects on COVID-19 mortality from any of the above rules or mandates. Again, people's immune systems have to handle it themselves. People have to do what they have to do to take care of themselves. I find it so hysterically just insulting when you see all these continued pushes when we have the data now. I mean, this is from Johns Hopkins, that have the data showing all of this stuff is completely and totally erroneous, yet you still have the Loudoun County Public School System saying they're going to arrest children for trespassing if they don't wear a mask, even in light of the evidence that's showing it doesn't work. They even showed the evidence last year came out that, well, like 92% of the COVID deaths were people that had two or more comorbidities. Majority of them were also obese. So people that were already sick, that already had health problems, died from an upper respiratory virus. Yes, people die from the flu from upper respiratory viruses. The evidence has been very clear as well that vitamin C along with quercetin and zinc does an incredibly good job at maintaining the immune system and fighting. Evidence of D3 levels. There's been research on that with clinical studies showing individuals that had higher levels of D3 had a much lower case of mortality when in the case studies that had a D3 levels in a healthy range in their body. They also had evidence show out now that ivermectin has been very, very effective, especially when it's used with zinc. All of this stuff has been evident now over 2 years of research. Yet the only option that they continue to tell everybody is wear a face muzzle and get an experimental RNA gene therapy shot. That is your only option to mitigate COVID. Nothing about your health, nothing about overall as far as nutrient supplements, nothing about limiting sugar, nothing. And you know what's so funny to me, Doug, is they'll sit there and they'll run their big, fat, pious mouths about how all this stuff is for public safety and it's for public health and everybody needs to do what they need to do to help each other, not put each other at risk. But yet, you see people still running around smoking cigarettes. You still see people vaping. You still see people drinking copious amounts of alcohol. You still see the United States being the leading intake of pharmaceutical drugs in the entire world. You still see all these things that are unbelievably harmful and that people are unbelievably sick with all the time. Yet we're not going to make those topics up. We don't talk about that. We're doing all this because it's for your safety. All that other stuff, it's your choice. But it's not your choice to basically be free and be healthy and breathe fresh air or not get an injection. Shaquille O'Neal did an interview the other day, and he slammed the shot mandates. He said, nobody has a right to force you to have something medically done to you. And he said, it's not right. He goes, I agree with people wanting to keep their family safe if they want to do it, but you should not be forced to take a shot. And the CBS news anchor was like, well, you're not being forced to do it. And he goes, yeah, it is. It's mandated. It's forced. And she's like, no, it's not. He goes, yes, it's forced. If you tell me I can't work at my job after 10 years because I don't get a medical shot done to me, or then he goes, that's forced. And she went back and forth that trying to argue with that. He goes, no, it's forced. There's no other way about it. It's forced. You tell somebody they can't go to the store and buy food for their family. They can't go out to eat dinner. They can't go in and go to their job and make money unless you get the shot. But it's not being forced on you. It's totally your choice. It is being forced. It's medical coercion and is illegal in the United States. It has never been allowed under any circumstances ever. Yet we're seeing it being done currently right now. And so many people still want to just run with it. The Army now, as everything else is going on, the United States has now said they will be discharging over 3,300 service members because they have refused to get the shot. The Marine Corps, Air Force, and Navy has already discharged active duty troops and entry-level personnel for refusing the shot. So far, the Army has not discharged any. According to the data released by the Army last week, over 3,300 soldiers have refused to get the injection. The Army said they have issued official written reprimands, which suggested they're already identified in disciplinary process, and some of them will be among the first to be discharged. This is absolutely horrific. And as you can see, Doug, and you know as well as I do, we've talked about this, this is being done specifically to undermine the United States military. They did it with the whole gay thing where everybody can be blaming homosexuals that go get sex change operations and the military has to pay for it. Yep. And all this nasty, weird stuff they're doing. Now they're removing the, because you got to remember, all the Army guys, the Corps, the Navy, all these guys that are standing up and saying they're not going to get an experimental injection, they're the same ones that would say, no, I'm not going to fire on American civilians. I'm not complying with that. Those are unlawful orders. I'm not taking unlawful orders and I'm not going through with them. They're the same ones that would stand down if told to do something illegal. They're the same ones that are going to stand up and fight for truth and freedom. That is why they're purging them. That is why they're not giving them any leeway. And that is why they're making an example out of them and trying to get everybody else to comply with this all across the U.S. military. And it is absolutely atrocious to me they're doing this to our young men and women in uniform, Doug.
So, you know, what I wanted to ask you, too, speaking of the military. So on Monday, the 31st of January, Senator Ron Johnson held a 5-hour hearing. Okay. And he had a bunch of medical specialists, doctors, and scientists in this hearing. I mean, not PhD. I mean, we're talking about qualified individuals, frontline workers and such. All right. And Tom Renz, an attorney, testified on behalf of 3 whistleblowers. Okay. Now, what was said by Thomas Renz, according to the whistleblowers who have access to the proprietary database, DMED. DMED, which surveils all of the health of all of the military personnel over you know the years, the 5 years from 5 years leading up to 2021. And then 2021 and beyond. In 2021, they saw, and I'm just going to give you a couple of numbers here, a 2,181% increase in hypertension, 1,048% increase in nervous system disorders, migraines, 452%, female infertility, 472%, breast cancer, 487%, other types of cancers, malignant, for example, neoplasms of the digestive organs, 624% increase. Okay, so this is what they put on the congressional record. So, and here's where it gets really freaky. Ron Johnson sends a letter to the Department of Defense saying, hey, you preserve your records because we're going to be looking at this. Okay, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I mean, maybe it's all smoke and mirrors. I don't know. So the response back, I'm sorry, there wasn't even a response back. Peter Graves, not the actor, for those old enough to remember Peter Graves, but Peter Graves, who was a spokesman for the military, said, you know, doggone it, it's the darndest thing. You know, we found that between the years that you requested, we weren't keeping track of the numbers properly.
Yeah.
and PolitiFact reported on this. See, Graves didn't go to Johnson and say, hey, we got a problem, bud. Look, you know, we got a real problem. I mean, there's some issues here. No. Went to PolitiFact and said, hey, guess what? The numbers for that five-year period, well, they were underreported all across the board. It was just for that five-year period, but everything else was the same. Okay, so what... You cannot make this up. I mean, and people, do people really believe this crap? I mean, when are people going to say enough is enough? You know, do not lie to me like this. And we're being lied to every single day. What I want to know is when in the hell are we going to rise up en masse and say never again, no more, we're done. Kind of like the truckers up in Canada. Let's do this thing. Let's get it on. Let's get it over with. Because I'm done. I'm done with you telling me to wear a mask. And if you got a doctor that makes you wear a mask and you know, makes you jump through hoops, fire them. Fire them. And you know, I mean, enough is enough. Vote with your feet. Go elsewhere. You know, but kick these people to the curb. Because what else? What's left? What's left? I'm asking, you know, because we've got to fight against this crap. If we don't, we're done. We're done.
Oh, absolutely. And that the biggest thing right off the rip that people can do, I mean, there's a couple little bullet points here. A, first one's obviously very evident. Do not comply. The truckers are making that very clear, and everybody else that I've said. The officials don't even comply with their own rules they make. I mean, you saw that in California with the photos I was talking about earlier. Do not comply. If you're going somewhere and you're doing something and they're trying to force you to wear a mask, don't comply. Or if you have to get in somewhere for something very specific, hold it up in front of your face like a complete and total, you know, basically just weirdo, just to basically get in and then take it back off. Nobody's going to forcibly hit you and basically drag you out. Secondly, do not support any companies to the best of your ability if they're trying to force you to wear a mask. This is very, very important. There are a lot of companies, a lot of businesses that are not following along with the stupid mandates anymore. They've had enough. Now, there's a lot of them that still are. And the only way this stops is when people start pushing back en masse. They stop going to the businesses and giving them money en masse. They stop supporting these idiotic organizations that are going around trying to force people to do things and basically giving them money. If you know a company is basically not going along with freedom, don't support them. Thirdly, what we all need to start doing is getting actively involved, especially the local level. The local is the best place to start, whether it's the Polk County School Board, like down here where we're at, or you're basically going to county commissioner meetings and so forth. It is crucial you get involved and start getting groups together. You know, even if it's 10, 20, 30 people, excuse me, to a meeting, to a board meeting, get in there and start getting letters. We have the platforms now with the internet. Let's use it for our advantage. Get up petitions, get them writing, get them groups together and start doing that. We've been very, very active about that here in Central Florida. Those are the main things you can do right off the rip. And those don't even take a lot of cases, a lot of energy or a lot of output to do so. It's not like I'm saying, hey, we need to drive to California and go argue with them out there. No, man, this stuff you can do locally. This stuff you can do online. This stuff you can do in a couple minutes in most cases, especially when it comes to businesses. The next thing we all have to start doing is getting the truth out there online and spreading it, emailing it to people, forwarding these shows, waking people up and making them realize that it is not okay. If you decide you want to get an injection because that is your choice as a human being and you want to inject yourself, you can do that. That is your right to do it. But the flip side also goes if you don't want to do it, you also have that right. And we can never allow ourselves to fall into the slippery slope of collectivism and believing that we all have to do the same thing in order to get the same results. You don't have to get the shot, and nobody can force you to get the shot. Nobody can force you to do anything, because what they're going to keep doing is they're going to keep dragging this on and on and on and on. I just saw earlier in the over in Europe, the EU now just had the commission. They said today the EU commission is proposing to extend the EU digital COVID certificate by a year until June 30, 2023. as it says, the virus continues to be prevalent in Europe, and at this stage, it's not possible to determine the impact of increased infections. Extending the regulations will ensure that travelers can continue using their EU digital COVID certificate when traveling to EU member states and maintain public health measures. Well, if something doesn't change, if nobody pushes back, I can promise you any amount of money you can come up with in your head that this mandate for the EU COVID passports in Europe will not end on June 30th, 2023. Far from it. They will find another reason, another excuse to extend the date into 2024 and so on. And it will go on and on and on and on. And that's why Pfizer now is getting ready to release their fourth booster shot. They're supposed to get an approval on that this month. That is why Pfizer and their infinite sickness and the FDA and their compromised perversion over there, whatever they're involved in, they're actually talking about approving the Pfizer injection for 6-month-old to 4-year-olds. And 2 shots isn't going to be enough. In order for them to be fully vaccinated, they need 3 shots, not a booster shot, 3 main shots just to get their main vaccination up to date. You know what makes me so angry about this, Doug, is the physiology and makeup of human beings. If you actually look back at true science, you can see that a child's immune system really isn't even fully developed until they're about 2 years old. Their body is just in the making. I mean, they're little baby children. I mean, just sweet little things growing, you know, basically learning, adapting. And when you take a 6-month-old child, little baby child, and now you're saying you're going to inject that child with RNA gene therapy to start making their bodies produce spike proteins, there is absolutely nothing good that can come of this, because there has been virtually zero significant cases that I have read about and I've researched of children under the age of 5 dying directly from COVID-19 viral infection, period. Now, there's been like a dozen of children that like died in a bathtub while they had a fever, basically fell asleep and drowned, a couple situations like that. But actually being in the hospital dying directly from an upper respiratory virus 2, 3, 4 years old, none, zero. And if anybody can find research or documentation that shows that, I would love to see it. Because I've said this now to 5 different people that are, everybody's told me that has access to certain information and is constantly in the know. And they said, dude, I can't find anything about children that are a healthy, young 2, 3, 4 year old child dying directly from COVID-19, and they didn't have some type of other significant illness, and they were already basically like really, really, really sick about to die already. This even concept, this thought of trying to do this to children is so far-fetched and so much directly evident that it's child abuse, but yet people continue to roll with it. And so again, be aware and be sane. Make logical decisions with the stuff that's going on. This is why we have the children's chewable multiple that is super popular, constantly keeping your children ramped up with the nutrients and vitamins they need. We have the vitamin C, bears, or the little chews that we have. We also have the D3 liquid if they want to take that instead of the capsules. We have the vitamin C powder that tastes great. There's all types of options in order to maintain and develop a healthy immune system for a young child, and it's right at our fingertips at any time. Please do your own research before you resort to injecting your little baby child with RNA gene therapy. Because here's the thing, Doug, we already have seen the detrimental impact of a lot of the vaccines on young children. The MMR shot, the HPV shot, all these shots have had significant side effects, and they are well documented. Yep. Over the last decade. Well documented. This isn't conspiracy theory, misinformation. Well documented on the side effects of what a lot of these shots do. What in the world is RNA gene therapy even being considered to be used on young children when we don't even know what it does to human beings, because it's only been out for a year? And essentially the shots that have been out on humans have still been experimental. I saw somebody, they're not experimental. They're emergency approved by the FDA. I said, that doesn't mean it's not experimental, you moron. I said, there's no long-term testing to figure out what these shots are going to do to people 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. How about their offspring? How about what happens when people continue to get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these stupid shots and they continue to have kids? What's going to happen to their kids? We already know miscarriages are through the roof. And that was one of the things you said earlier with the DOD memo that we've seen now in this documentation. The miscarriages have been through the roof now in the last year, over basically in the DOD with people that are in the military, through the roof. neurological disorders, all the stuff, numbers are going through the roof. But yet everybody's still just lining up saying, hey, if you don't get the shot, it puts other people at risk. How does that concept even work in somebody's stupid brain when they go, if you don't get the shot, I'm not safe? And I brought up on our show today, I said the entire concept is eludes people when it comes to immunizations. If somebody gets a measles injection and it's a clean injection, it's not full of a bunch of perverted material like aborted baby tissue, and it actually has a denatured or dead measles virus in it, and you inject it to somebody, their body has an immune response, and their body produces antibodies to the measles, and they develop an immunity to measles. They're protected against measles. If I do not get the measles shot, but I basically have natural immunity, or even if I don't have natural immunity, me contracting the measles is of no concern to the individual that had the immunization for measles, because now they are immune to measles. Hence the entire purpose of getting the shot. You're immune to that person and you can't get measles because you've had a clean vaccination. If you get a COVID injection now, for the first time in history, oh, you can still get COVID. Oh, you can still die from COVID. Oh, and you can still spread COVID. You actually have zero immunity to COVID whatsoever, any more than the next person. In fact, if you've actually caught COVID organically, you have like a 13 times higher natural immunity to it than you would if you got the injection. But if I don't get a shot and I'm perfectly healthy, I'm making everybody else at risk that already got the shot because their shot sucks so bad it doesn't work. The concept is so far-fetched, Doug. I've never seen this level of stupidity out in society before, because even for the most part, people understood the basic concept of immunizations in the world. And for some odd reason now, I guess Fauci and the whole band of merry misfits has confused everybody and lied to everybody so much with the propaganda, people really don't even understand that concept. So they say, if you don't get your COVID shot, I'm not protected, even though they've been very clear in stating, if you get the shot, you can still contract it. You can still spread it. It does not work like a normal vaccine at all. It simply reduces your symptoms if you get COVID at best, if the shot doesn't kill you. I mean, have you noticed the same level of stupidity out there now lately as well?
Yeah. And I can't explain it. I mean, I can explain it because in a larger argument or in a larger dissertation, I can explain it. But you know, when you have otherwise seemingly reasonable, rational thinking individuals, all right, it should be clear and evident to those people who are paying attention, and maybe any one of these might be lacking in this scenario, but that the entire infrastructure of this pandemic was built on the foundation of lies. And it is so clear to me, and I've read numerous books on the backgrounds of the individuals involved, the agencies involved, and the people. So I just don't know what we can do. What more can we do? You know. So which brings me to the situation in Canada. All right. And I look at Canada, and my question about Canada is, how is this going to play out? Because at least in my view, if we brought it down here to the States, or we don't even have to do that. It can end a couple of different ways. Trudeau could back down and say, okay, you know what? We've got to get back to normal, or somehow acquiesce. And the truckers would, you know, win in quotation marks. If he goes, Kent State on the truckers type thing, or even using rubber bullets, I got to tell you, that's going to bring out a lot of anger. I'll use that word against the government. I don't see much in between there, except that the truckers prevail, and Trudeau backs down. Or that's the best case scenario. But back to your question. I ask myself all the time, are we doing any good? Are we talking to preaching to the choir, talking to like-minded people, or are we making a difference by having a radio show, having a video program? Are we making a difference to people? Are people listening, or have they tuned everything out? And especially, I'm talking about especially the ones who are in the cult of the jab, in the mask cult, you know, the mask COVIDians, the mask holes. Are we too far gone? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a significant portion of the population, a decent portion of the population, I should say, that they have found this newfound, you know, role in their life where they get to be involved in the COVIDian cult. To those individuals, no, there is no saving them as far as from themselves. They are pretty much lost when it comes to it without the, you know, direct intervention of Jesus Christ doing something to try to help them out and preserve them. They pretty much have been lost down the rabbit hole because they generally enjoy this newfound power that they have, and they love being part of something. You can see that from a psychological standpoint. They actually have a sense of purpose now. I talked about on our show last month. They have a genuine reason to actually be alive instead of just be a wandering around moron. Now, you do have a lot of people that have been back and forth on the fence. Some people have gotten the shot, now they regret it. Some people have been supportive of some of these things, and now they're kind of saying this is too far-fetched and this is too far out there. And to those people, a lot of times, they're a little timid. Those are a lot of people that I'm trying to go at and give them facts to make their own decision. Now, what they decide to do with those facts is completely their choice. It is what it is. Everybody's got the freedom to make their own decisions and have their own beliefs and make their own, you know, ideas about stuff. But everybody, Doug, deserves to have the truth. Yes. Nobody deserves to be lied to. And that's my biggest thing that I try to convey on the show, and I know you do as well, is that we all have a right to speak our opinion, and we all have a right to hear the truth. Even if the CNN wants to label it misinformation and fact checkers want to say it's fake news, whatever lie they want to label on our truth, it doesn't change the fact that it's truth. It's like coming out and saying, you know, Doug, the sky's blue today. Uh-huh. And you go, no, it's not blue, Austin. I fact check it. It's purple. And I'm like, no, Doug, it's really blue today. No, it's purple, Austin. You're spreading misinformation. You can't say that. Well, we can go back and forth all day. It's not going to change the fact that the sky is still blue. All it is that my statement, the truth, got labeled with something that somebody else doesn't believe. And that's what people have to keep understanding. The mainstream media is completely complicit all the way up to their eyeballs right now in keeping everything suppressed that's factual. Pretty much, I have found, and so have you, about 99% of everything the media says now is either a lie, fabricated, or basically misinterpreted or misdirected in order to go towards a certain narrative, which means it's our responsibility as patriots to get the truth out there. That's why we have our show. But we've got to take it a step further. When we're out in public and we're having engagements with people, if we're having conversations, we're talking to people, we're standing in line, or we're buying something, we're eating – talk to people about stuff. Just bring comments up. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to go out and be basically belligerent about it. But I ask people all the time to wear a mask. And, man, how long are you going to keep wearing a mask for? And then a lot of times they'll have a response. Sometimes they'll say, oh, well, you know, I kind of like wearing it. And some people say, dude, I absolutely hate this thing. I want to burn it. I need to keep my job, though, so I don't have any other options right now. And I go, well, have you thought about trying to get a medical exemption for the mask? And then they'll go, what is that? Ah, spark of light. Now you got an idea. Now, whether or not they can actually get that through depends on the business. I do know a few people that have gotten medical exemptions. They've actually worked for the mask. This is basically, if you have an issue with asthma or COPD or you have anxiety disorder, you can basically state, you know, I need to get a medical exemption. And a lot of doctors that I've found have actually written exemptions for them. Now, it's not easy. It's not something you just go and do. It's going to take some work. And I knew another girl that did it. It was a nurse. She got one approved. Because of her skin, she had real bad acne already, and the masks were making her dermatology even worse. And her dermatologist basically wrote it for her, and they gave her a ton of crap about it. And they're still giving her crap about it, even though it's a medical exemption. But again, you give that information out there and see where it goes. The reason why we've gotten in the spot that we are in this country now is because too many people have failed to ask a question, why? Why do I have to do this? Or why am I being told to do this? Or why is there a mandate doing this? What is the reasoning behind it? People simply looked at it, said, okay, I'm told to do that. I'll do it right now. And that is what we have to continue to remember, Doug. We have to ask questions and get the truth out there.
Indeed we do, and never give up. I ask myself, hey, are we making any difference? And I do suspect we are, especially when we are out there in public, like you said. Austin Brower, thank you very much. Is Doug 5 active or no?
Yeah, I'll make it active. The vitamin E and the HGH stimulant.
Okay, all right. So it sounds good. My brother, healthmasters.com, folks, go there right now. Hey, order up. Doug 5, coupon code. God bless you, Austin. Have a great night. That'll do it for me, folks. God bless you tonight, this weekend, Patreon meeting, 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Good night.